All right, good afternoon, Sid.
You doing? My name's Vince Gabriel. I own a...
You can talk to him, but you don't have to worry about the camera.
Oh, all right. I own a training facility in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey. It's probably about 30, 35 minutes from here. Before I opened that, I was out in San Diego for about 5 years working at a place called Fitness Quest Event, which is like a sports performance fitness facility out in San Diego, and did that for about 5 years. Learned a lot, had some good experience, got my master's degree up there, and then moved back to a group of Jersey, and I moved back to Jersey, where I, for the first year, kind of, I didn't have a facility. The first year, I just had a truck. I just, you know, had sleds, kind of like a kettlebell, and all these things like that. I just put all that stuff in my truck, and I just go to the fields, and I just train kids after school, and then I had a pretty good summer. That summer, this was last summer, you know, I had my truck. So it was good, it was fun, but I knew, like, I was getting, you know, busy and crazy, so I knew I needed to find a building in time. And all the while I was training on my truck, I was going through the process of opening up a facility and finding a building, which is something you guys do not want to do, and you only want to do it once. And that's one of the reasons why I started a larger facility, because I realized that I wanted to take that financial risk, because it was such a, opening up your own place, there's so many things that you don't even think about that you have to go through. You know, how many parking spaces can you have in the parking lot? How many square feet do you need? Showers? Do you need bathrooms? You know, zoning, is your place zoned for that? So there's so much, there's so many things that you have to go through to get the place open. You know, when I signed a lease, it still took me 3-4 months just to get through all the paperwork and all the development of the town and things like that. So it's a really, really difficult process. And I knew it was a process that was difficult, that I didn't want to really go through that many times. So I ended up going with a larger facility that, you know, we're growing into. It's harder when you have a larger overhead at the beginning, but it felt like you definitely can stay above water in the beginning. The end result is going to be, it's going to be pretty rewarding. We're coming up on our first full year. We started September 8th. And we're coming up on our first full year. But our focus is, Zach Jims is open morning afternoons, and geared mostly towards, you know, high-level athletes. Our gym, because of the size we have to be open all the time. So we do a lot of fitness. 50% of our business is fitness. I would say probably about 25% is in like a women's boot camp. The other 25% is in kind of small groups. Fitness coaching, where we train people in small groups, 2 to 4 people in a group. You can't have a big facility, you can get away with it with a facility like this, but when you have a bigger facility, you have to do fitness. You cannot do just athletes. So that was one of the things. And I don't mind that. I had done that before. And you know, it's cool. We see, you know, and really what the fitness feeds our youth program and vice versa. You know, when we have, you know, a bunch of moms coming in and training in the morning, all those moms have kids. They have a husband. Through our women's boot camp, we started a men's boot camp, which we have now 15 guys, and those guys, like, just, you know, keep re-upping every year, or every month, because they love it. And that all started when, let's say, 80% of the guys in our boot camp are husbands of the wives. So you go in a town where it's like you have all these different people. So it's like we have full families. We have families of 5 people that all train at our gym. So we offer different programs. And the other programs we offer are middle school. We do a lot of work with middle school athletes. I saw a big need for, like, the young kids, ages like 10 to 13, to be trained. And then we have a high school program. And our high school program, it's not, again, you know, there's a lot of different things you have to do when you have a bigger and smaller facility. But I can't really afford to say you can't come in and you can't. So there's definitely things that we have to deal with that Zach doesn't. And that's just the price you pay. So, you know, everything is going to be a little different. But, you know, our middle school program, you know, generates some good revenue. We have about 12 kids in a group. We we have a small turf field that we do it on. You know, we push sleds, push ups, chin ups. But you know, the biggest thing too is to have. I know Zach's got a guy that works with him, and that's why I call him Tom. Because like the biggest thing, the best thing you can do is to get good people to work for you. And then I have that. I have two really good trainers. I have two really good front desk people, and I rely on those people. And without them, this place isn't successful. And there's a good rule to hire slow and fire quickly. You know, if you have, you want to bring in people that, are going to be really, really good and do good things for you. And that's the biggest thing that's made it successful. Is, his performance is just, outstanding.
Because Tom was an intern, right?
Tom really, wasn't a trainer when he came to me. He was a football coach that was getting his master's degree in exercise science. And, didn't want to be a football coach, knew he wanted to get into strength and conditioning. And it just, he really impressed me on the interview. I can definitely tell that his presence would be good with working with athletes. And the biggest value of Tom is that I can tell Tom to train anybody in our gym, any population that comes, and he'll be able to do that and be successful. He'll train a middle school group, he'll train a high school group, and then he'll train a group of women, and he can do that. And that's a very, very valuable thing. And I myself can do that, and that's what I look for in the people that I hire. Can you do those three things? Because you can hire some kid in meathead that might be great with, training high school athletes, but, he wouldn't know what to do with a couple of moms in front of him. And that's not valuable to me. That's just kind of like, single-minded. So again, and every business is different. It's not right or wrong. It's just different in that sense. But yeah, having a staff and having people that can rely on is huge.
Tell them about you come back from San Diego. And what did you do? You incorporated your business and started doing it.
Yeah, I went through the whole it's an LLC. It's a what's just called a limited liability corporation.
Did you do that online or?
No, I did that through like a lawyer. It costs like $700 or $800 to do that. I don't think you can get around that cost. I think it's just it is what it is.
Yeah, I asked one lawyer, and I think this was years ago. I think this may have been like 5 years, 2005. Yeah, about 5 years ago. So he said back then he was telling me $300.
It's $700.
Yeah, that's easy. How'd you go and get clients? Like you're in the truck. What do you do?
The first thing I did was my cousin. I was living in my parents' house. My wife and I got married. We were living in my parents' house, and I set a little gym down in the basement. Went and bought like some power blocks and put that, and started training my cousin. He was like my first client. I trained my aunt. So I started all family members that I was training.
How was your cousin? What was he doing? What kind of?
He was like that. He was just like a business guy.
All right.
And just like a real successful guy, and he's still with us. He still trains with us. But it was just like kind of just getting some money to get started. So you can start back and start buying more equipment to fill my truck and to go.
What kind of truck do you have?
Tacoma. Yeah, Tacoma. And I had one of those.
Covers.
Yeah, a car. It looked. I took it off because it looked like crap. But it was. Yeah, it was in the East Coast. And that's the thing. Any of you guys in the West Coast? You're on the West Coast. So in the West Coast, you can get away with doing stuff outside. And I know in the East Coast that you can't, rely on the outside. I mean, with the last 30 days,
yeah, rain on most 30 days.
But and the way I got, I wrote an article. Have you guys ever been to strengthcoach.com? Strengthcoach.com is a training website. And Mike Boyle, who runs that site, asked me to write an article. The biggest thing that the point that I made was the best thing I ever did was open my facility close to where I grew up. I grew up in New Providence. My facility's in Berkeley Heights, which is the town next over. One of the guys who was my good friend was coach at Summit. So here was all three towns where I knew people. I knew all my buddies were like assistant coaches here and there. How I got Tom to come work with me was one of my best friends at high school, and this is how it all rolls. One of my best friends from high school is now the head football coach at Johnson Regional. So that's like, we're getting kids from Johnson coming in now, which is like about 20 minutes away. But he hit Tom and Nick, this guy Nick, coached together at Kane University. And Nick told me about Tom and wanted to get into this. So it's like, it's all a big web. in there. And you know, if I didn't open the gym where I grew up, I wouldn't have had these like instant connections. But some of the other stuff I did to get business, so I would go to like, you know, the PAL camps and like kind of run warm ups for the PAL camps. I would go to the board meetings and present at the board meetings of kind of stuff that I was doing.
When you go to like a PAL camp, did you bring flyers? Did you make special offers?
Oh yeah, yeah. I would always bring flyers. Like I think at that point when I was doing that, I was like, you know, like in the spring, and I had this summer camp that I was promoting, and I got in. It's funny because Paul Reddick always talks about how you like said about the permit thing. You're like, what are those things called? You're like a permit, and then you're like, that goes, oh, fuck that, I don't want a permit. That's what Zach said the other day at this thing you're speaking at. But you know, I didn't have a permit either, and I just talked to the coaches and I went to the fields and
what field? The high school?
Yeah, the high school field. So I had one at the Berkeley Heights High School field, and I had another one at the Summit field, so I could hit kind of two different towns.
Did they want money from you?
Nah. Wow. I really.
It's great.
Yeah, so it was really nice. It was a good profit. And I ended up getting like 35 kids in each location. So I made a great amount of money in those camps. And the way I did it was just, and the best thing to do is to send out mass emails through the PAL websites.
Oh, I remember you saying that.
How do you connect? Best thing I ever did.
That's got a punch. Is that Leslie?
The commissioner will have the address. And the best thing I ever did, because this is how I feel, I had 70, between two camps, I had 70 kids for today.
That's a freaking lot of people for a little dude
running out of this truck.
So the police athletic league, get a hold of the commissioner, and what do you say?
I knew the head coach of the town. So the head football coach, for example, in this town called Summit, you know, knew my stuff, brought me in to work with this high school team, and started introducing me to all the people that, you know, on the board of the PAL, this commission of the PAL, and he does, you know, a lot of stuff with ours, and he's doing a youth camp. And he's like, oh, great, you know, I'll send an email. So I made a flyer, and he emailed it out, and, like, the response was like, and I did that with two towns.
Really
three towns.
What did the flyer say? Did it have a headline on it? Was it, like, getting fancy?
Sports speed and conditioning camp. That's what I call it. Like form shit. I probably call it like, now we call it like,
lightning speed camp.
Yeah, we don't really, I didn't really put a lot of bells on most of the
cool.
Youth sports speed and conditioning.
And one flat fee?
Yeah, so it's cheap as hell. It's $150.
For how long?
5 weeks camp.
It was how many
three
days?
Times a week for 5 weeks. Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
3 times a week, 5 weeks. And, I don't recommend doing this, and I'll never do this again. But for a camp like that, like don't do pro reds. I did pro reds, and people, parents would call me up and like, well, he can't come this day, he can't. So I would pro red, and it was just a disaster. So, and I'm sitting like in my bedroom in my parents' house, taking all these phone calls, Like I'm calling my parents' line. My mom's so pissed at me. But like all these parents, and my mom would get phone calls like in the morning, saying, I'm calling to sign up for the camp. So it's like, it's real, like, but it's, you know, now we have the phone line and all that.
As you guys know, phone line is home, Jamie, worked out. What, did you give the kids t-shirts for those kids? So the camp is going on,
yeah.
And then right after that camp, you own the gym. Did you tell them you're going to open a gym and say, did you collect email addresses? Okay. What did you do?
Yeah, so you, first of all, you got to get kids to fill out any type of medical or waiver history, stuff like that, especially if you're going to be on a field. If you do train kids out on a remote field, you have to have a cell phone on you. You have to be, you know, make sure that you're aware. Because I had a couple times where I was a little nervous. Some of these kids are so dog out of shape. These are mostly middle school kids, high school, like low level. Some of these kids, like Zach said, in the warm up, these kids are going to have to sit down. And it gets hot. It gets hot outside, and you're in the middle of the field. And if you don't have anything, you know, you got to make sure they have water and stuff like that, and give them frequent breaks.
You like, provide really, water?
I didn't provide. I am now. I am because I think I'm calling the local grocery store. I'm trying to get them to supply the ice.
Awesome.
I don't have to buy ice every day, so I'm calling that. I called the guy, and I was like, you know, I'll tell my kids to come get their post-workout meals at your grocery store.
Nice.
And you supply me, you know, 5 pounds, 10 pounds of ice every day. So
see how he's maximizes his network, out of a truck, 70, you know, he's got 70 athletes. He trained, he made his family pay for his services. If your family doesn't even pay, I'm telling you, they won't even use it. Like, people got to pay for stuff. The people that don't pay always half-ass that shit. They just do. Even like now, I got a kid that told his dad, because he lost a job, I said, just pay me when you can. Now he's working. I'm going to say, look, you need to pay me at least, I'm going to say $50 on the first day of every month. Because he's never here, and I don't think he gives a shit because you're not paying. I was like, he needs to start, I got to start coming up with something. You got to do that. I like how you rocked your internal network. So after the camp ended, what did you say to the kids? 5 weeks is done, the gym is about to open.
Yeah, we were kind of like, you know, getting the groundwork done. We had the building, we were like going through all, again, all the stuff with zoning and things like that. But yeah, you have all their emails, you know, email lists. And one thing you guys got to make an email list of the groups that you have. So we have like, I have like, you know, probably 50 different email lists right now. So if I want to send an email out to that specific list, you just, boom, you click on it and you pop it out.
Who do you use for sending emails?
We do, our newsletter is Constant Contact. And Tom, and that's the thing, is like, I don't have time to do like all the newsletter stuff and stuff. So I like pay Tom stipend every month and I give Tom the content and he runs through, he does all our video work and all that. Because it's like you gotta like designate some stuff, you know, to other people. So he does a great job with our newsletter. But really, we have it's like a webmail. It's just through the guy that created our website supplied us with, you know, just we're going to something different soon. I think it's called, what was it, Outlook. I think we're gonna go to Microsoft Outlook with all our contacts. But right now we're just using the basic. But you just create, you put an email. They're called distribution lists. You just get a group of emails. Right on, and if you want to send out an email to a previous class or something like that that you've had, say, we're starting this class again, it's just so easy to communicate.
Yeah, you could. Like what you're saying, I just had that new blog built, but I had that email, that one shopping cart, and he said, hey, if you don't have it, I'll put one in for you, and you can send it, you can tell me what you want, but something like that, if you end up paying somebody monthly to do that, I think Joe DeFranco has to do that too, like, he has to tell the guy to send the email, so he switched his website to have a blog that he could update. So a blog makes it easy. You could update that shit, it's like a Word document. But when Ben and I met, he already had a website, bells and whistles. What about, do you still have the partners with you or no? The business partners that...
Yeah.
Okay. How did that work?
What's it called? There's different ways to get money. You can go through a bank. You can go through. I decided I had a lot of people in the area that I knew that, you know, were confident that I could get this business up and running. So they're called angel investors.
Yep.
And what angel investors are is people that you know that are going to, you know, stand by you and put up money, you know, for you to start your business. So I have a few different, you know, what's called angel investors, and I pay them back every month. You know, I owe them money, lots of money, you know, every month, so I just make those payments every month. And then,
do they help you market? Do they help
out? No, they have no real involvement, you know, with the business.
Just financially?
Financially.
I know Tim Ferriss does it. That's the guy who does the 4-hour work week. I think they get a lot of money, and they've grown their businesses and try to help somebody else put up the business. How do you run the membership inside? I think it seems like you have like a 6-week program.
It's not really our middle school and high school, and really our boot camp run last year. We did it kind of all differently, and we changed it all up. So last year it was 3 months programs. So it was 3 months in the fall, and it went like with the sports seasons. So we opened our business in September. So we had a fall block where it's like 3 months of training, and it ended like in December, like right before. So the kids that did like our off-season fall program were mostly like basketball players, were mostly like people that are wrestlers, baseball players were playing like a, you know, like not playing sport at that time. And then the next block was like we got like football guys because they were playing sport. So it's like, and then we have an in-season program too where the kids train like twice a week and they just come in. So it's a little differently than when Zach does it. We kind of have like these 3-month programs for people. And then we do have, like, if you're not in that program, like, none of the times work, we do have things where you can kind of, like, form your own small group and work with a trainer. And the way we do half sessions with that. And one of the reasons why we do that, and I don't like doing it, but what I found was, is that the kids have these sports, and then they have a season, and they don't have a season, and it was getting crazy whether they couldn't commit to like 3 months in a row because of the sport seasons and things like that. But I'm kind of in the midst of trying to get out of the packages. We only do it with one small portion of our business, so it's not really that much of a hassle. But our fitness, our small group fitness, we run like you do 3 months, 6 months, or a year.
Yeah, I like saying that, like, you know, I don't want to hear an athlete tell me he's not going to come when this season comes, because to me, you're a real athlete. You got to train year-round, so they got an in-season program. For me, I say that once-a-week thing is for in-season only. What it used to be was for those really who couldn't afford anymore. That's why I bumped once-a-week to 195, so it's very close to the 250 or 275 that they would pay. So they just go to twice-a-week. You're just going to, you know, get better results with that stuff. Well, guys, ask Finn whatever question you want. This guy has experience working under Todd Durkin, who's a really big, very successful guy at West. I mean, two fitness and, like, really cool stuff. What do you guys have questions for Finn? And he's doing kind of like what you were asking, man. He's got, like, women and men during the day. And he's also in a pretty affluent area, right? Pretty affluent area. It's a good area to be in. Does anything that helps the business, just being in
there? Yeah, but I think the economy's so bad right now, it almost doesn't even exist.
A lot of people work in the city, right?
Yeah, but it's definitely difficult, but yeah, it definitely helps, you know, to be in an area, that is, you know, some guy that he was in there today, he pays for himself to train, his wife to train, and his two kids to train. You know, but he's probably paying us, you know, I'm trying to think, like, close to $1,000 a month, just from one family. You know, he's got two kids and a wife and himself, and thousands. Doesn't even think about it, though.
Service is great.
Doesn't even think about it.
He sees what it does for his kid. He brings time together with the family. There has to be ways that you create shit that money is just, it's like it doesn't sweat. And all of us have it, whether it's for that father, it's fitness. For you, it might be spending money on, like, your car. If you're really into cars, like, you don't fucking care. Like, you will go into the hood where there's machine guns to get that little thing that you can only get for your car. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all of us have that, like, one vice. For me, like, I do crazy shit for, like, vintage strength equipment. Like, I will, like, sell my soul to the devil to, like, find something fucking crazy or, like, do something really that makes no sense and spend money that I shouldn't spend it on. That's my one thing. Right? That 150-pound dumbbell? Man, I have to tell you how I got it. I was bidding on it. I'm like, there ain't no other moron out there to bid on. Okay? Maddie lived near me, probably would have been him bidding on one thing. Nobody's bidding on it. There's like 2 minutes left. I left 2 hours before it would end. Go somewhere with my wife. The like 2 minutes to go, some dude bids on it and beats me by like cut, not like change, not even a dollar. You know, he outbid me like that. So I email the guy and I tell him I was bidding on it. I'll pay you double and I'll give you 10 years membership to this website I own, and it's underground. And he goes, yeah. So I go to him, I paid him double what he paid and 10 years membership, and, you know,
10 years.
So they're like, what was next? Like, take my car, I'll walk down the park with this dumbass, let me have it. Like, that's dumb. And he told me that he felt bad when I offered him, like, all that stuff. He's like, but I didn't want to say no. He's like, I would have been fine if you just gave me the membership. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are those things that people would just pay for and not think about. So for somebody, they might want to be in shape so bad that if you just put out some outrageous price, they would do it. And it's just the way it is. People have to have certain things, and the price of it is no object. Okay? Questions, guys. What are the questions you have for Ben?
You have people help invest to get you rolling and everything. I mean, you kind of like this, you have a lot of equipment, like over here, like how
yeah, we have a good amount of equipment, like nothing crazy. Like I bought most of my stuff used. I found a place called you guys know Gym Source is like a retail so they have a warehouse, and the warehouse is in like Teterboro. And so they have a warehouse of all used equipment that they get back. So I bought a lot of my stuff from them. All my dumbbells, all my weights and things like that, I bought all through them. The prowlers and stuff I had bought when I was out of my truck. So I already had at the blast shops, I had like prowlers and kettlebells and stuff that was already there in my truck.
Turf, you got turf?
Yeah, and that was the one big expense.
Was the four back?
Yeah. The turf I got from Fielder. And here's the other thing, is that the turf I got, and always remember that sometimes when you think about like saving money, cheap can be really, really expensive. When you think just trying to save some money, cheap can be really, if I had gone with a cheaper turf, from another company, I probably would have had to spend double the money to rip it out and put another turf in, because the turf I was going to get at the beginning would have been past the product code. And I didn't know that until it came in past inspection. So they would come in and say, I would have spent about $6,000 to put this turf down, and they would say, this turf doesn't pass the product code, rip it out and throw it out.
Yeah.
So if I had gone with the cheaper turf, I would have ended up spending double the amount of money that I spent on the more expensive turf that I knew cast the fire code and that. So there's so many things that, obviously you can get away with saving money on spending money on like dumbbells and things like that. But sometimes, and the turf is like the turf in our facility is what separates us from every other facility in the area. No one has turf in our area. We lined it like a football field. It looks awesome. So it's like that selling point when people come in and they see that it's something different. It's like, wow, the kids come in, they run on it. It's like, it's really cool. It's got black pelican, like an outdoor field. It's like something that totally separates you. So I knew that was a big thing, and I knew that I wanted to, if there's going to be money that I'm going to spend in the beginning, an investment I'm going to make, that was it.
You, it was like his area, I guess. Probably being that it's more affluent, the code and the township and all that shit could be pretty wild. I can't believe some of the shit that Mike does, putting that fucking big ass tower in the courtyard. Like, I was like, dude, fuck, like your landlord let you do that? It's not in ground, but they drilled like those like L like planks to hold it down. I mean, that thing's huge. They leave vans on there and shit, they take down the rope. But, my landlord complained that my tires made circles against the wall. But you gotta check with your town, just make sure, like, whatever weird shit they have. Some towns are very hard to do business in. Okay? And usually, for something like this, fellas, it's called light industrial. Small warehouse, light industrial. Don't tell the town you're opening a gym. You're not opening a gym. You're opening a personal training studio.
Yeah. One-on-one. Tell me you're doing one-on-one personal training.
Yeah, you're buying baskets.
Then they look when they see a gym, they think, okay, lots of people in there at one
parking spaces, all this, weird shit. Yeah, they start thinking about all that stuff. So find a little place like that. That's going to be, important. What else you guys got for Ben? I mean, then you have like a, how are you getting clients now? Didn't you go into the high school, right? You went to the high school?
We do the high school.
Did you do when you went? Did you speak to the health
club? Hey, just do a ton of different shit and just find out what works. Because I've done so many things that have just absolutely failed. Like, the other night, and it still happens now, it's still like a few, it's not dumb stuff, but like I had, the athletic director of this one school asked me to come speak to parents about injury prevention. And he asked me to come speak at this like parent coach meeting night, and where the parents go and they meet the coaches. So I went and he was like, they announced all week I was going to be there and stuff like that. And the thing started at 6 and ended at 9, and I was speaking at 9.
Oh,
okay, so you can imagine where, and I'm thinking, I didn't realize that until the very end, that it was ended at 9 and everyone was leaving. And as I'm walking in to do this presentation that I prepared for that I did research on, talked about vision gating statistics and stuff like that. Just spent a good portion of my week preparing and put a lot of time and effort into it. And as I'm going up, I'm seeing all the coaches who I hope were going to stay. They're all rolling out. They're like, oh man, everyone's leaving, no one's coming. So I did a good presentation in front of 5 people. I sat there in the library of the school and did a presentation about injury prevention in front of 5 people, and I thought I was going to do it in front of 100. So it's just like, you know, nothing, you know, really came out of it, but it's like, you know, it's the more things that you do, the more things you're going to fail at, the more things you do, the more things you're going to see.
You learn that. Yeah.
And, you know, that could have very easily gone the other way. You know, but the other thing we just did a combine, where we brought, you know, a bunch of, we had 30 girls in our facility for this combine, and we tested them, and I'm telling you, we were scared to death that this one of these girls was going to tear their ACL doing a pro shot. Like, these girls are so bad. And so, but the one that we got, 30 girls in that facility, we do it free, we did a free combine, we got 30 girls. You know how we got 30? One coach made it mandatory for a whole team to go.
How'd you get a coach to do that shit, though?
I don't even know. The coach, I didn't even know the coach, because it was at the same school where we do a lot of work with the football team. This was a girls' soccer coach. So I guess she saw what we were doing and thought it was a good idea. We ended up getting 4 kids from that 30 out for our summer program. So, which is not bad. But you gotta say, like, we've had other middle school trials. We do pre-trials all the time. That's what we just were. That's what we were late. But we do pre-trials all the time. We do stuff for free all the time. And it's how we get, you know, the majority of our business. We did a free trial a couple months ago. I was sweating because we normally had almost 60 kids in our middle school program. We had like 20 signed up or 30 signed up. And I was like, how did this happen? I put together a free trial. I emailed every commissioner, every coach I knew. I was like, we're putting this free trial. We had 30 kids show up to the free trial and 22 signed up. Which is like unheard of.
That is
like that percentage. Like the 22 out of 30 is like to sign up for our free trial is like it's unheard of.
You're normally in the three to five percent success rate. Okay, I told them about the seminar, 10,000 people. So these four guys out of 10,000.
I just
did a little small blurb that I'm putting together, a course on how to get your own underground gym room. I said I'm not gonna email about it again, but my list has 10,000 people. I said, look, 4 people show up out of 10,000. Not everybody reads the emails, busy times, etc. But that's fucking huge. You know what you could do? The biggest rate of injuries for females are those ACLs. And let me just tell you guys a story. And Paulie, our friend, told me about the story. He said it's called the asshole story, or like the dick, make him be the dick. So you have two stories. The best story I have really could be, it could really work if I had more girls come in, or any girls. There was a girl that was one of the best athletes this town ever saw. Star softball player and basketball player. Full ride wherever else she wants. Junior year, blows out her ACL during basketball season. Gets surgery. Guess what happens senior year? Blows the other ACL out. Done. I don't know what happened to her scholarship, but she lost the last 2 years of her playing. Messed up her softball. She was amazing athlete. I mean, boys were scared of her. And I'm not talking about like a brute. Beautiful girl, everything going for her. And she didn't want to come here because she thought she would be manly. So, if Vin is a dad and brings in his daughter, and then he says, and he's here, and his daughter's saying to me, she's like, I don't want to be old man, blah, blah, blah. I could always have that story, and I can make Vin feel like the dick by saying, this reminds me of a story when Jennifer was thinking about coming here, and she said the same thing, and she was the best softball and basketball player in that school, and probably one of the best that school has ever seen. Junior, she tore ACL. Senior, she tore ACL. Lost her scholarships. She went to some local school, but schools in California, Florida, and North Carolina were looking at her. Boom. Now she's at, like, Montclair or something like that, I'll say. Like, she stayed local when she could have gone to like some place with palm trees and had this amazing experience. So I start making him feel like a dick, and then I talk about this other girl that came to me, Samantha. And she had that same concern, but she came here, we got her stronger, which made her faster. She got a scholarship to that college she wanted to, and married. I go, you want to know what? You want to know why she didn't get hurt? Because by training her, made her tennis playing strong. You girls are always getting injured because you're not strong, and you physically can't get muscular. And then I got Sam's testimonial in there. She's not a muscular girl. She's not like a big buff girl. She looks just like this other girl. But that's the dick story. And I had one of those stories. I had a father that didn't want to bring his kid here because of the money. Baseball pitcher was getting looked at by the freaking Cleveland Indians before he's even going to college. Guess where I run into him? At the doctor's office. Because he tore whatever tendon, that Tommy John thing. And I so was ready to say, if we could have trained you, this very likely would not be happening. We would not be sitting in the same office. Okay? But you know what I said to him? I was like, you'll be fresh for next year. Well, he goes, fresh for what? Soccer? Hey, it's not my fault, you're a fucking dick. Because you didn't want to spend $250 or whatever it could have been to make him stronger and make him healthier. So remember the dick story.
Okay? And one thing that it's kind of a little off out of what Zach's talking about. Well, in the case of knees right now, and shoulders, I had the opportunity, one of the best things that I've ever done in my life, probably. I had the opportunity to go watch an ACL surgery. Go into the operating room with one of the top doctors in the state of New Jersey, Dr. John Furley, who's worked with the Detroit Lions, but pretty much one of the top doctors, and standing in blood right next to the surgeon, watching.
It's like a 6-hour surgery.
Nah, ACL, yeah. an hour, so 40 minutes. Yeah. What'd you do to yours?
The ACL was, well, that was like 6 years ago. I think it was like 4 hours supposedly.
Now, this we were in and out of there. And just like, it allows you to see inside, the body and see, from an inside perspective of the mechanics, the anatomy of the shoulder and the anatomy of the knee. And just, it will make you, the better you can talk to parents. And that's one of the big selling points we have, is that when we talk to a parent, like, it's not a member, it's not really a matter of if they're going to come train, it's when. Because if someone usually comes in our facility, it's not their deciding whether they want to do it or not. It's like when they're going to get started.
So get to a point though, if when they're going to get started, do they, why do they know that they're going to train with you?
Well, it's most people that come to us, and you talk about like word of mouth and referrals. Most people that come to us are like a referral from another person saying, go see these people. One of the things we do, and I don't think, do you put your kids through assessments?
Our warm up, I tell them, is the assessment.
Do you like a private assessment?
No.
That's one thing that we do. We do it with our fitness, and we do it with our athletes too, with our high school and up. But we put them through an assessment. It's a private session. It's a one-hour session. And we put them through, great coach's movement screen. We put them through the movement screen and get another great way to learn about how the body moves is doing that movement screen. It'll open your eyes to so many different things about, like, when you see a kid squatting, like, if he's leaning forward and doing this, it's like that movement screen really breaks it down and allows you to see why. And it'll help you fix people, like, really quickly. Really quickly, you'll tell if kids needs to help improve the mobility of his thoracic spine. So that's something we do, and we really, really recommend doing.
Here's what we do is our trial is our assessment, and it's an assessment of obviously their physical fitness. It's also an assessment of like their commitment and their dedication if they're really willing to work hard. So there's two ways to go about doing it. And I remember. The guy who used to be in Jersey and now he's the speed coach in San Francisco, Dwayne Carlisle. Right? Remember Dwayne?
Yeah.
He had like a couple big speed camps, but what he always did was a one-day free trial, and that one-day free trial made the parents watch. I sometimes have the parents watch. Sometimes I leave it up to them. sometimes I just say, come back here now. It's really the vibe I get. He liked the parents to watch because he could say, you know, well, you know, Rick, you saw how your son Jamie performed during, you know, the workout, and you could see that he had a little bit of trouble, you know, keeping up. His condition was definitely a problem. His start or his speed was something that was a little bit of an issue for him, and he had a lot of trouble doing strength exercises. And that's what he basically would use, and he would use the trial as his way of saying, your son or daughter is weak, and we could fulfill those needs. The way that my buddy Paul recommended this guy, if you do it with the baseball pitchers, and I've been doing this, and it works great. It's in here, guys, so just please remember, if we don't touch upon it. He'd say, based on what I see, here's the next logical step. The way I say it is like, I'm just like, based on the way things went during this trial, what I really recommend is we need to go with this membership option. So I can say twice a week or 3 days a week. The last two kids that came here, I told them to do 3 times a week. I used to really be scared to tell them, recommend to go to that 3 days a week. Because I had like this many people taking that option of $350 or $375. But when a kid throws up 10 minutes into a workout and can't walk on his hands for more than 5 steps, and he's in high school doing bigger, faster, stronger, we have a problem. When another kid is crying or sweating from his eyes, whatever the difference is, doing push-ups, and he's going to play football, which puts him really in a danger. We're in danger. He's going out on a football field, and if he thinks he's going to be varsity, he could get hammered by a 250-pound beast. We've got a problem, and we need to move fast. So based on what I see here, well, you can say, and what you've seen, you know, he had a difficult time, and I remind him, that's just a trial, and that's really a watered-down version of our baseline. That's not even a regular workout. We definitely need to go with 3 days a week, and I'll let them know. Once we get them up to the level we need to, and if they're training regularly with us, then we can talk about going less. But right now, the option really needs to be 3. And I've had times where parents said, he's busy, he's going to the wrestling club, he can only come once a week, and I turn them down. Now, Vin can't do that. He's got a bigger place. You have a smaller place, you have a little bit more of that. So I told the dad that once a week is not going to cut it. And I said, I've got kids that go to wrestling clubs 5 days a week and they still get here twice a week. I go, we need more serious. Now, once a week is only allowed for in season. So you can create your own rules.
Yeah, we do the same thing in terms of that, since we don't allow once a week, you know, with our fitness, like our boot camp, like you can't come once a week. And all our programs are minimum of twice a week. So that is one thing. Just once a week, it's pretty, you know, again, like Zach said, unless you're in season. But now, even in season, we require them to come 2 times a week. So that's one thing where we do get selective on. It's like, once a week, it's not going to do anything for
us.
So.
And better for you. Yeah. If somebody was once a week and been to training, like, you know, moms, dads, especially the moms, females talk a lot more than the men. Like I said, the dads are trying to keep shit secret, but say he's training somebody once a week, and he's been training her for 6 months once a week, and she starts telling everybody at work once a week. 6 days a week, what is she doing? Maybe nothing. Maybe even eating really bad. Then she starts telling 50 people at work, or the word spreads to people that she trains at Gabriel Fitness. They're going to be like, that place probably sucks. Because Sally's been going for 6 months, she looks no different. So you need to let them know what your expectations are. Remember we said that? Tell them what to do. If you're coming here once a week, tell them. You're probably going to make us look bad because I don't know what you're doing. I'm training at the high school. I know you are. So is everybody else. And he's training at the high school, but he couldn't do one body weight squat. So we've got a lot of work to do, and once a week's not going to cut it. Because if he's coming here once a week, yeah, we're going to get results. But he's also not going to get the results that we expect of all our guys because of the work they put in here. And that makes us look bad, and we can't afford to have that. Okay? You have to have that shit scripted in your head, guys. That's got to be like like written on my heart. It's not something that I just do. It's like that's in my heart and in my gut. That's what I feel, and that's exactly how I communicate to them.
I think that Zach, and no one does a better job than Zach, is creating, you know, that cult following, you know, with your people. And it's, we have that with our boot camp as well as our young athletes. The kids come in and it's like you're almost part of, you know, like a small club, you know, when you train them. We had there's a huge gym that just opened up like in the same town that we're in. It's called Lifetime Fitness. And this place, I'm telling you, it's 110,000 square feet. It's like this mega like gym. And like we had, there was a ton of people, you know, that were training with us that went and joined, but still stay at our place. They still work out at our facility because they know it's like kind of so much different for that other gym.
Why do they want to go there?
Because it's like when you have kids and there's pools and there's it's based in the Midwest, but it's like this massive. It's like, and it's a hangout. Kids like go there and they like hang out all day. And they like make out in the hot tubs and stuff like that. So it's like this real like, and like a lot of people have been like, you know, turned off by that and they really like, you know, the smaller atmosphere that we are.
That's what we were saying. That's what the one thing, like the dude came here to serve, kind of like you. He had a 5 or 6 thousand square foot, and I said, bro, you don't want to change the style of your training, don't change the style, but you're going to change the who. During the day, you're going to take the men and women for fitness. Train them all. He has been flipping tires. He was in Seattle, and he did a hiking trip with them through some crazy-ass mountain. And dude, he was, like, sweating his ass off. He's like, pretending to do this thing. I was like, fuck, dude. And it was like, a 16-mile trek. I emailed him. I was like, don't ever do that fucking trip again. Really scary. Like, die on the mountains of Seattle. See him again, but he just kept that hardcore style and started taking them on little trips and little outings, and you know, he's just taking real good care of his clients, and they really, really like that. And he just picked up one of his first pro athlete. He's getting a ton of college football players from University of Washington, and he's just really, you know, and what happened is he just wasn't trying, he wasn't going out there and hustling and doing enough free stuff, like what Vince said. I think he hooked up with like a football league. There was like a camp that was going on where he was going to help the warm up and the cool downs. He went to the baseball league, the high schools. He's doing all that stuff, and there are other athletic gyms in his area. They're doing none of that, and now he's crushing. And he's a young kid. He's like 24. He had he had a girlfriend at age 19. She got pregnant. He has a son. The girl took off. It's him raising his son and running that gym. And at the time, he wasn't even like above the water. But it's because he was so ingrained on one way. Like Vince said, you got to tell him, look, you're going to fail. Some of those things are going to totally suck. But go out, do all that free stuff, take care of your guys, and just make it such a great experience. So the training again, they're just having a blast. Hiking trips, just doing real cool shit with them. He turned his gym around so freaking fast. Like all the time, he sent me a text message. He's like, life is good. He's like, this is great. He's like, this gym is getting pumping. It's because he's doing all the other stuff that nobody else is doing. You know, real important. So always think about it. What are you going to do with your clients? You know, what kind of cool things are you going to do? Very, very important. And you're always reinventing and refiguring those things. Like Paul Rudd told me that, like, he thinks some kids would stay in that pitching group, $5,000 a year or whatever it was, for this wiffle ball game he plays. He has like an annual wiffle ball game, and they're like all talking shit to each other. He's like, dude, I swear to you, they sign up just to do that wiffle ball game. We take him to, there's a Yogi Bear museum up in North Jersey, and Paul is right next to Vin, actually, and they meet Yogi, and they just do, you know. He takes them in and really hooks them up, and he's like their father, mentor. And you're gonna be that. You're gonna be that role. And also, like Bill was saying, like Tom's gotta have like his multiple personalities for moms, for dads, for middle school, for high school athletes. You'll have to do that too. You guys got, what do we got, like 7 minutes there? Ten.
The one thing that's is don't be afraid to kind of see something, you know, about spending money. Like, I you know, Zach's underground strength cert, you know, was like, you know, $1,000 or something. It was like really expensive, and that's what I said.
I was telling
him, it's expensive, but and it's like, I thought about it. I was like, you know, I have certifications, I have all this, I don't know if I need another certification, things like that. And I was like, you know, it was, I had already opened my business, but it was just kind of something that, like, I thought would be, and I took a gamble on. And it more than the training stuff I learned from Zach, it is awesome and great, but more the relationship that I've built with Zach and the people that I've met through Zach has been, you know, tenfold what I spent on the seminar that I came to him. I now hooked up with the guys, his business guys, the guys he's in, and so I'm in a mastermind group with these guys now, and that's helping me out a lot. In terms of, you know, you gotta think, you gotta have a business mind, you know, as well. You can't just be a trainer and want to learn about, like, you know, the next best exercise. It's like, you gotta have a business mind, and stuff.
That business mind is, that's critical. But he's like one of the few, so actually that group that he was in was a very go-getting type of group. Like, a lot of the dudes really are doing well. You guys are in the same one, right? Like David, Vinny, that dude Sean that I was talking about, he's doing stuff in his church, and the football teams, go-getters. Some of these other guys that came, like, you know, not one client. That means you're sitting on your ass. There's no fucking way in hell you could have no clients after coming to this certification. Or no matter how bad you suck, you have to have one client. If you suck worse than suck, you should still have one client. You have no clients, it's because you're sitting doing nothing. You've got to always be on that, like, action. Very important. Does anybody have, like, a final question for Vin Diesel?
That's not my last name.
Vin Diesel, love this guy. Anybody? Cool, man. Give it up for Vin Diesel. He's the man we're coming. You don't want to be here. For getting a logo, a lot of times people get logos that don't look that good or they just don't know where to go. There's a very cool website called 99designs.com.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 99designs.com. So what you would do is say, like, I'm looking at the Converse logo on Adam's shirt. You could go to 99designs.com and you could post a project with a prize money to it.
Sure.
I don't know if that's the right terminology. Basically, you could say, I'm looking for a logo. These are the images I want. This is the feel I want. This is the who it's going to. These are the colors I want you to use. I need this done in 72 hours. Whoever makes the winner will get $75. So, and not only do you just get one logo, I think you could save all the logos that everybody, you can just, you know, right click save as, all those logos that everybody built, but you're only going to pay the one winner. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
So it's 99designs.com. I remember I was helping this one guy, internet marketer. He created a website for his Maverick Business Adventures. He had the website, the logo, everything done, and everybody was putting together these websites for him, like sick shit, like Flash and like music. I mean, stuff that I would imagine would take days. It probably took them like an hour to do. And then his thing was like, good luck, guys. Like, whatever. Website number two is the winner. Thanks, everybody, for your time. So he was just cool. Website number two is the winner. Boom. And then you pay them however it is, PayPal or whatever. So, beer's designed for your blog. And 99designs.com is free for your logo. I've tried Craigslist with minimal luck. I mean, even the people posted that they want to work don't even respond. So, remember what I said about, like, just fucking working? If you work, like, I feel like you'll win, but you really gotta hustle. Most people, they just don't want to do it. So, we're towards the back of this. It says Module 5 Web Weapons. Now, I kind of equate, like, my blog to my training philosophy. I keep it really simple. The technique has to be tight, clean, neat. That's how I want to see your blog. It has to be simple. It has to be neat. And it should keep people coming back on a regular basis. And the way to do that through a blog allows you to post articles, videos, action photos, captions, stories. You get your clients to comment on it. You really want that to be like the second community aside from the gym. You can post the workouts. You can post funny taglines on this shit. I mean, you could do crazy stuff. Like, if you want to, like, bust people, like, you could say, you know, whatever, like, Dave's been coming to the Underground as a new member in the past 2 weeks. He is jacked. And you could superimpose, like, Ryan Coleman's body on him. And, like, everybody should start commenting. Like, just fuck around with your people. Get people to come back on a regular basis. Get them to share the stuff. That's going to be real important. And just really highlight your clients. Like, really give them the props. You know, Adam's our athlete of the month. He's going to get his free ending. You know, we have, like, an athlete of the month, or sometimes I'll do a pull-up contest in here, or they'll do, like, best time on sled. Maybe I'll buy them, like, a Captain Crush hand gripper, $25 from Cheesecake Factory. Just throwing in little unannounced things. We did the Prowler Suicide Challenge. Every winner got the Lost Secrets of Strength shirt. That was huge. That was like a big bragging rights. You know, aside from simple me and keeping people coming back on a regular basis, because let's say Adam tells his coworkers about the gym that he goes to, which is Ricky's gym. Maybe all his coworkers are checking out Ricky's blog for like, they could be checking out for 3 months before they get the guts to think that's for them. Okay? Everything you do, trust me, eyes are on you. So never do a crappy blog post. Make it always something really cool. Okay? I think like my buddy Chris McCombs, and I put his website in a kickback light, he said, hey, I like got like a fitness blog, and they were talking about like vitamin C. Like, that just like didn't mean anything, but like vitamin C wasn't gonna like excite them. You know what I'm saying? So like have really kick-ass shit on there. You know? Talk about the way you eat, how it like, you know, that's like the way that modern warriors eat, shit like that. Talk about why you're, you know, training, you know, doing shit in your freaking bedroom, because that's that extra credit that made you all American football, and there's like that old picture of Maddie playing football, and then the client's like, oh, Coach Maddie is Maddie when he was in his prime as big fat ass. You know what I'm saying? You wanna like put those things out there that like gets your people like, oh, that shit was crazy, or I remember that time, or do you remember this? Like, you know, you see like Mike, he did like a video of this one guy, I swear he's like gonna have a heart attack. He's like slamming the ball and he's like doing the rower and then he's doing swim and he's like, like the guy was literally like barely walking. I don't know how he's exercising. He had a lot of comments from the other dudes like, oh, I remember my workout like that. He's getting people engaged and just constantly coming back. Now in bold I put, you need some ability to capture their contact information and be able to send them emails. Because like Vin said, what if you need to work on this truck? What if you want to like announce something or send out a special something, or you need to do a change because it freaking there's some crazy snowstorm, or last minute you found out that, you know, this special gig's gonna happen at your gym, you want everybody to know. You need to be able to capture their emails. Now, you could, I don't know if the people at Beers Design could do something like that for you. I use something called OneShoppingCart.com. They have good customer service. I could call them. They tell me how to do that. You know, they tell me how to, like, cut and paste the code, and you can give that to the web designer. It's a little bit tricky to use at first. I'm not sure how tech savvy everybody is. I'm not that tech savvy, but I use it so much that I learned to do what I need to do with it. But sending emails is important. And then on the bottom of your blog, tell whoever designs your blog that you want the sociables or shareables put in there. That's that little strip of tags for Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Dig, and all that shit. You want to be everywhere your target population clientele. For me, Facebook is huge. And also, Facebook is huge for the gym. Twitter is more better for me for like the internet stuff. But high school, I've got all those high school kids on Facebook. So you'll find me frequently. I'll take photos and I'll upload a whole bunch of photos. The kids will tag themselves. They love doing that shit. When am I getting on Facebook? How come I'm not on there? I gotta redeem myself after that crowd, after this. My parent, my aunt was giving me shit because he filmed me throwing up. Like, all that stuff. They want to be redeemed. They want to be... Dude, if you're on YouTube, that's like us in... That's like us being on a Hollywood movie for them. Does that make sense to you guys? So take advantage of that shit. Get them on Facebook. Even if you have... Everybody has a YouTube, should have a YouTube account.